Hey, what's up, guys? Travis here. And if you've been following me or my story for any length of time, you know that I started a company called Guestio about a year and a half ago now. And one of the things that we are doing this year in 2022 is we're building a concierge program called the Fast Pass that allows you to get booked on top quality shows and platforms for the purpose of spreading awareness for your brand, grabbing attention, growing your credibility, your authority, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you are listening to this right now and you are a seven-figure plus entrepreneur and you have a budget to bring in traffic, attention, credibility, authority to your brand, then this might be a really great program for you. Just head over to travischappell.com/10K. Why 10K? Because we guarantee in this program that you're going to be able to speak in front of 10,000 people within 90 days. Okay, 10,000 people within 90 days. Imagine getting on a stage in front of 10,000 people to share your message, your story. Well, that's exactly what we are doing inside of this program through virtual stages like podcasts or virtual events or YouTube channels or blogs. You name it, we are working with it and we are trying to get you booked on those platforms. So travischappell.com/10x. There's a quick application there. And then right at the end of that application, it'll prompt you to set up a phone call where you'll jump on a call with me and we'll talk through whether or not you're a great fit for this program. Please act fast on this. Do not wait because we are only taking on one or two clients a week due to constraints with our team and the limited supply of high quality shows and platforms that are out there in the market. So if that's you and you're really wanting to explode your brand in 2022, head over to travischappell.com/10K, fill out the application, schedule a quick phone call, and you and I will chat really soon about whether or not this would be a great fit for you. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Hey, this is Billy Jean from Billy Jean Is Marketing. And if you want to learn how to be memorable in your relationships, you should be listening to Build Your Network podcast, damn it, with the homie Travis Chappell.
If you're tired of the old way of networking, the business cards, the awkward conversations, and the aggressive pitches, but you know how crucial your network is to your success in life, then you're in the right place. Welcome to Build Your Network, the only top-rated show committed to helping you master content networking, foster real relationships, increase your authority, and build the network of your dreams. Listen in on conversations with world-class entrepreneurs, authors, thought leaders, and more as we deconstruct their best strategies for your success. So get ready to burn your business cards, ditch the name tag, and discover the new way to network with your host, Travis Chappell.
I am totally amped for the show today. This dude has been on my radar for a while now. I mean, he is the king of video advertising, really. He just cranks out awesome content on the daily. And if you haven't heard of him, all you got to do is visit his site once and you'll start to see his creative, one-of-a-kind video ads all over your feed. And you'll get to know him really quickly that way. Yes, I am talking about Billy Jean. He is not only running a multi-million dollar ad agency, but he is revolutionizing education by teaching entrepreneurial skills that you just can't learn in school. Billy and I talk about why his parents were upset with him for a while. I mean, we talk about him starting his first business and what he learned from that experience. And we even talk about how he's planning on raising his daughter in the crazy world that we live in. So lots of great stuff here. But first, if we haven't already hopped on a quick phone call, please let's do that. I want to talk to you. I want to get to know you better. I have a show called Build Your Network because I love to get to know people. So just head over to buildyournetwork.co/FB to join my Facebook group. And in the pinned welcome post at the top, there's a link to schedule a phone call. Would love to get to know you better. And now buckle up and get ready. Here's Billy Jean. Billy, super stoked to be here with you, my man. Why don't you start off by telling us what you are most excited about right now?
One, the intro. I love it. It's almost like I wrote it or something.
You told me that you didn't write that.
Love it, man. Well, one, thanks for rocking with me. Thanks for having me on. What I'm most excited about right now is the studio that we're building out. And so I'm really big into education, like you were just saying. And everything right now we've been teaching online. So we have this thing called Billy Jean's Gene Pool. It's $109 a month, and we're coming up on 5,000 members. And it's all been 100% online. I broadcast from our studio that you're in right now with like four cameras on me. But it's just upstairs. It's just here, which is okay. But we're building this world-class theater, 28 seats. It's going to feel like a luxury movie theater, like with like the big recliner seats and all that. And the whole idea is just to bring in the most talented athletes, musicians, and entrepreneurs to talk about the business side of things. So it's like this blend. So just have like the biggest influencers in the world coming up here and talking about how they really made it. The shit you'd never hear in an interview, because I always talk about like the corny, like, you know what I mean? Like the actual tactical is like, dude, how'd that contract go? What happened? Mm-hmm. What went down? How'd you get it? You know what I mean? So I'm really excited to build it.
Do you feel like you're passionate about that because you feel like education kind of failed you, or?
Yes, education. The only reason why I'm hesitating is I don't like that statement, because it's like, it's my job to take advantage of the education, not the education side to take care of me.
Yeah.
So there was like a lack of accountability when you say it that way. Now, having said that, if I knew what I knew about the college experience, I would refuse to let my parents go $200,000 of debt into sending me to the University of San Diego. Because there were very little transferable skills that I actually received from there that I paid for. When you think about that, it breaks down to like $3,000 to $4,000 a class. When I'm taking a class on art history that are required, like these classes are required, like some of the classes are a joke, but those first 2 years are like your prereq. That is a bona fide, genuine legal scam. It's the biggest legal scam in the world. Like, dude, I'm coming for a business degree so I can start a business. Shouldn't I be shadowing somebody who owns a yoga studio if I want to open a yoga
shadowing,
studio?
Shadowing, that's a good word.
Like, apprenticeship. Vocational schools were like a thing, and that kind of went away to this like theater and arts. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
So, you know, like there needs to be a class called How to Get Your First Customer.
Right, right.
And there's not.
Yeah, well, that's because who's teaching the classes?
Penises?
Yeah. People who haven't like gone out there
and,
you know, actually ran a business. Because if they did, they probably wouldn't be taking the, you know, $60,000, $70,000 salary, whatever it is, to be teaching at the university, because they have a successful.
So what you're saying there is exactly like the vision with the Gene Pool. Mm. It's to get the entrepreneurs to teach the small business owners how to really get it done. Mm.
That's really cool, man. That's really cool. So let's take kind of like a step back, go bird's eye view here. Walk us through childhood, Billy, like what you like to do, sports, academics, what you wanted to do then. Bring us through, like, what did you go to college for? And then when did you start realizing, like, oh, this is not going to work out?
Childhood, Billy. I went to private Catholic school my whole life.
Yes.
So I had, like, did you go to the same shit?
I went to private Baptist school.
Okay, so you know the game. I had, like, 1 to 28 kids in my class, max, on each grade level.
Yeah.
All boys private Catholic school for high school. I was forced into network with, I would say, the middle class was our thing, but that's not how our family was raised. So my parents were both grew up on welfare, and it was going to grandma's house was a lot different than like going to school.
Okay.
So I got to see two very different worlds.
Like cultures.
Yeah. Cultures, worlds, expectations, communication styles. Yeah. Like, I think it was the best thing that's ever happened to me, though. It's given me my perspective now. Probably why I'm so passionate about education, because I saw the gap between the people that have and don't is what they know. So,
Yeah, for sure. So coming into high school and then into college, what did you go to college for?
I went to college for business administration.
Okay. So I always wanted to do something in business.
Yeah, I always knew I wanted to do something in business, but like, I didn't really know what that meant. I just knew, like, you know, I see Diddy.
I want to make money.
I see Diddy dance around on stage, like having businesses, you know, you see the ball players and all that stuff. And, you don't know. You're just in business. I didn't, it's not like I knew any business owners. Now that I think about it, like growing up, I always knew salespeople.
Right.
And, you know, sales is kind of close to entrepreneurial.
The closest that you can get.
Yeah. So, like, I think that was kind of my thing, you know. But then, like, when I sold cars in between semesters.
Okay.
So, like, college would come, and I'd go through the year, and then I'd sell cars to make money to support myself during the year. And I just remember seeing the lifestyle that the salesman had. And my dad was sold cars forever, like 20, 30 years. The lifestyle versus the lifestyle that the owners had. Owners come in every now and then, you know, they leave at their reasonable hours. Right. They got their demo cars and they're freaking living up in Rancho Santa Fe, balling like a And I was just like, nah. And then I went to, you know, University of San Diego, and I was in a fraternity, and I was in a fraternity with some stupid, dumb, rich kids, like rich as I saw their lives and what they're doing. I'm like, you know what? Can I choose that thing? You know, so it was like, just getting exposed to stuff is what taught me. But I always say, like, that's my advantage. A lot of people live their lives and they never get that opportunity because they don't even know it exists. Right. Like, a lot of people, you know, just like, why don't people just pull up their own bootstraps? You hear that saying, like, well, you could just fucking do it yourself. Man, like, when you don't see anybody who looks like you being successful in a certain way, or anybody that you know in your entire network that's successful in a certain way, it's extremely difficult. I don't want to say impossible because nothing's impossible. It's extremely difficult to become successful. So everybody—
To break the cycle.
Yeah, to break the cycle. Yeah, everyone agrees with you are the average of the five people you hang out with most, right? And that's like the common saying, you hear it all the time.
Yep.
But when I went to University of San Diego, the common average was like, even the people who are like, I came from nothing, it was like, dude, your uncle like is the manager at a store. Like, your other person does sales. Your second cousin is a lawyer, a doctor. This person is an accountant. This person's a CPA.
Right.
But you didn't have anything. I'm like, let me show you what the other average looks like. Prison.
Right.
No parents. No supervision. Drug dealers.
Right.
Drug users. Are you going to tell me that's the same playing ground? No.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But they really believe, like, this side really believes that they came from nothing.
That's because that's their only perspective.
Exactly.
So I have a
perspective tattooed on my wrist. Okay. And that's why I laugh at Envision tattooed on my wrist, too. That's why I laugh, because you have both sides who kind of have this disdain for each other.
Right.
They're like, you're lazy. They're like, you had everything.
Right.
And there's truth to both sides, but both people are just living their best lives according to what they came with.
Right.
So it's to break that communication, open that up, is another passion of mine, is to help people see the other side.
Do you feel like you had negative views or negative mindset on money from the way that you grew up, as far as like having it and if it was okay? And was it like, oh, the rich people, they're like the greedy bad people, and we're over here, like, was it ever—
Well, again, like, I always came up on some balance. Yeah. So I heard both of those talks, and they're very true. Like, oh, these just rich ass motherfuckers just have this because their daddy had money and their mommy had money, and da da da. And there's this very glass full of resentment there. And then I definitely heard conversations like, you know, I'd walk into class and see this girl crying because she fucking lost her shades. And I'm like, it hit me. I see these, it was like an out of body of experience. I'll never forget. Her name was fucking Renee. I know her last name too. I won't say it. But I just walk in and I'm like, what's wrong with you? And she's like, I lost my shit. And I honestly, my first reaction wanted to be like, shut the fuck up. Like, I had no empathy for it. And then it killed me, because then our two girlfriends like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, what? Are you, what is happening right now? What is going on? And then I had to take a step back and like, that's what she knows.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Like,
right.
That's, and then you go into the thing, it's like, at what point do people start need to take accountability? And but like, nobody's willing to learn the other perspective. So it's a whole different topic. But yeah, man, I'm passionate about everything in between that.
What do you feel, and this is kind of a little bit off topic, but I'm interested just because this is kind of how the conversation is going. What do you feel about putting yourself in areas of struggle on purpose for the sake of making yourself better?
I put it this way. I got a 2.5-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. She's her commute to where we go. I took her to a birthday party yesterday and she rolled up in her Bentley. And going to a party where the family is extremely wealthy. Right. So there's jumpers. There's a fire truck that's actually a pizza delivery with toys on it. There's like, it's the 5-star kid parties. And she's growing up with this standard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, my daughter's gonna be a little and I'm like, obviously, I'm not going to let that happen.
Right.
But what you're saying is, like, putting these experiences, super important.
Yeah.
Super important to, like, make sure she experiences and experience, you know, other side of things. Like I said in the beginning, I said I felt like my blessing was the fact that I had these two very different worlds. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to float in both and bring perspective to both. My daughter does not have that right now. So I'm excited to, you know, I'm going to make her be like a slave in a foreign country for a little bit or something. I don't know. I got to get creative with this. Because her shit is very not normal.
Yeah,
top down with a Ferrari.
Right.
You know, so I got to instill some extra.
Right. It's funny. I was talking to, do you know Yoast Jansen? It's a Navy SEAL.
I've heard the name. I don't know.
Yeah, I had him on my show recently. And I was talking to him about kind of that same thing. Because obviously does everything in his life was like born out of some sort of struggle.
Yeah.
So I was talking to him about it. And I asked him that same question. And he goes, I do stuff with my kids every once in a while to like make sure that they're still in that mindset of like struggling is okay. And that's where the beauty in life comes and stuff. And I was like, what's an example? And I was expecting, you know, like, oh, we're going to go run a half marathon together or something like that, you know? And he goes, well, we decided as a family that we're going to hike the Pacific Crest Trail. And
I was what like, do we roll that is?
What are you talking about, man? It's literally a trail that goes from Mexico all the way to Canada. The whole United States, the whole West United States. It's like 2,700 miles or something. And his like two sons that are like 10 and 11 and his wife are like hiking. They'll do like 3 days at a time. Like hiking. He was like, we got caught in a blizzard one time. And my sons were like totally, I felt like they were being tortured the whole time, but he was like, no, this is good.
Yeah. You know, no, that's dope.
And I was like, wow, that shattered what I was thinking of struggle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and it's a double-edged sword, right? It's like, I want her to have these great experiences, but yeah, I also want her to never feel bad about what she was blessed with,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
And I'm a big believer in social responsibility. It's Kaya, I don't give a what you do in life, but I will tell you this, you have a duty, you have an obligation to be extremely good at it and be able to create, help a lot of people as a result of it. It doesn't have to be business, but she has a huge, like if she told me she like just wants to be a hippie and travel the world, I'd say, F you. I'm serious. A lot of people are like just go travel. No. You have work to do. Look at all the resources that you're coming into the world with. You absolutely, under no circumstance, will spend your time F-ing around. Yeah. She can have moments of that, but she will build something.
Yeah.
You know, build something incredible at a very young age, you know?
Yeah. Really cool, man. Really cool. So getting a little bit back here on topic, what did you do around the time that you were like, okay, college was done. Did you graduate? Did you get your bachelor's?
I didn't finish my last class.
Okay. So
I had graduation and ceremony. Yeah, I basically did, but I didn't. Yes.
Right. Yeah. So after that happens, what do you do from there?
Part of the reason why I didn't too is because I had this business where I was going to become a billionaire. Obviously, I had a mobile oil change company.
I thought you were going to say it was an MLM or something.
That's usually the same.
Let me show you
right?
this opportunity, man.
Yeah, mine was when I just saw like the mobile car washes taking over. My uncle had one whose son works today, but my uncle had one. And I was like, dude, this mobile car wash thing is great. Like, I don't have to leave. You'll come wash my car. Like, this is easy. What's another service? Oil changes. No one wants to go get their oil changed. Everybody needs it. Let's just go mobile with it. So I started one, and I really thought it was going to be the end all. But I learned the most cliche business lesson of all time, but the realest, and that's you should never do a business that you don't love. Mm-hmm. I hated cars. I still don't give a fuck about cars, like besides just to drive them and like be a douche. But like, I don't like building cars. I don't like mechanics. I don't like changing oil. Every day I can put on my coveralls and I was out in these streets changing fucking oil, filling up oil tanks, going to the oil bin, recycling oil. Like we had like, it's so much saline. We didn't have any customers. It was just that. I was just slapped in the face. I thought because I went to business school, I was like obviously qualified to run a business. Yeah. And it was just the biggest wake up call ever of how, that's what I said when like nothing was transferable. I went through it. Yeah. I was the guy who had the arrogance that I could just build stuff. And I was just like,
You don't understand. I have a business degree.
It was, and it's insane. Yeah. It's like, oh, what? I don't care about this degree you speak of. It was crazy. Yeah.
So from there, like you're in your early 20s then at that point, right?
21.
So how long did it take you to realize that this is not going to work? And then what did you do?
Well, what happened is I had two partners. I had my cousin who did love cars, right? I was supposed to be like the sales guy. Ryan was supposed to be like the accountant back office guy. We did have our three like skill sets. Mm-hmm. But the thing is you learn business in a business school. When you're in a business school, they almost teach business like from a Fortune 500 perspective. Mm. And it's almost like the lessons that you learn start when a company has $1 million or $5 million in revenue.
Right.
And so on paper, you do need all those things. You need a sales team. You need an accountant back office. You need someone to do the operations, et cetera. So fast forward, that's great. But what business school didn't teach you is the first $100, the first $1,000, $5,000, $10,000. And maybe they didn't because a lot of people have that money already. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, it was just crazy because it was like, wait, what do we actually do?
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's even little things like the research, like, oh, we're going to start an LLC. Okay, then we probably need this paperwork. That was Google.
Right.
That was no class to refer back to notes. Right. Like, it was not real, dude.
Exactly. What I tell people when they ask me, like, hey, bro, should I go to business school? Like, well, do you want to be an employee for the rest of your life? Because business school is probably pretty good for that. Like, if you want to go work as, like, an accountant or, like, work as a marketing assistant at a big business, then that might be something that's beneficial
could be a place
for you.
For it.
You know what I mean? But if you're going to start your own business, then you need to go get around people who've started their own business.
100%.
And like
100%.
Learn from them directly, have real life experience.
Or they want to be a lawyer or doctor. You want to be a lawyer or doctor, go to school.
Yeah,
you
know, right.
Something like that. Like
any sort of specialty trade or something like that. So when along this line, were you like living on your own at this point? Just moved back in with mom and dad?
Well, about that, when my parents found out I didn't graduate, they definitely didn't talk to me for a year and a half. You gotta understand, I was the first one in my family to go to college.
Okay.
Yet alone a good school. Yet alone, like, it was like the city, the fam was riding for me. They were like, oh, like, he's the one who made it.
Right.
Because from their educational standpoint, making it was getting a degree from a good university and getting a job, right? They don't know anything else. So when I did that, it was like, they were devastated. It was devastation turned into rage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And which turned into numbness, and we didn't have a relationship for a long time. And during that time, my partner in the oil change company, his mother opened up her home and I was staying there. So, you know, that's when, like, I realized, like, I ain't got this lifeline no more, you know, because my parents were always there for me. I got very lucky and blessed to bail me out. I didn't have a lifeline no more.
Right.
And I didn't have any income either. And now I was an adult and I had my own stuff. I didn't have a dorm room or nothing. Like, you know, you didn't have those things. So I'm like, oh, shit, it's go time.
Right.
And then that was kind of a combination of staying at his mom's house, which was, you know, it was super nice of her, but I always felt uneasy because I was like, staying at somebody, you know, you're staying at your boy's mom's house. And, you know, the business wasn't going anything. I picked up another job, which is a 24-hour fitness, checking in people so that I can run the business. So it was living at my boy's mom's house, working at the gym down the street at nighttime and during the day trying to figure out this oil change thing. Then both my partners did their own thing. They left. So now it was just me doing all the oil changing, all the selling, all the checking in people at 24-hour fitness, still no money. And now I'm kind of like at my boy's mom's house too long at this point. He's not working there.
How old are you at this point?
22, probably, in this range. And, you know, then I'm living at my cousin's who had kind of had a place on the street. He let me stay there. And then it was like my boy Brandon's, his parents were out of town. And it was just like rotating. So if you looked at my car, I had a Honda Accord. And I'm not kidding. Every single little inch of space in there was used for like clothes and like just my stuff to like, you know.
Right. So you'd be mobile.
It's hard to be mobile, you know. Yeah. But the biggest thing I want to point out about this is I share the story. A lot of people like to change the story into poor me. I never lived in that world. I was always having just as much fun, talking just as much, being happy. Right? I was hungry and I was uncomfortable with my situation, but like it was not a poor me. It was like, nah, this is I'm paying my dues.
Yeah.
Paying my dues I'm going through. So if you're on your struggle, I don't feel bad for you. The world doesn't fucking feel bad for you. No one feels bad for you. You.
Yeah.
Get over it. It's like my bad is like, oh no, I have to have stuff in my car. I had a fucking car.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Oh no, I stayed at my friend's house. His parents were balling. Yep. I had to fucking stay in a dope place. Like, come on. You know, so no poor me. No poor me.
It's funny. I was just having a conversation with Kevin DeBona yesterday with my wife, who in college, basically she would just live on like bags of potatoes for like 2 weeks because she was like putting herself through school, working full time. And she would just like literally find different ways to make potatoes, but it was super cheap to buy a bag of potatoes. So she would just do that. And when
she probably has every potato recipe in the game.
She makes some bomb potatoes, bro.
Yeah.
But when she talks about it now, like she literally told me that yesterday. She was like, I don't really look back on that and think like, oh, poor me or anything. Like,
exactly.
That's just what I had to do at the time. So I just did it. And like, you go throughout life, you have fun, like everything's okay.
She's
like
a winner.
A season of life, you know, that you just got to go through. So.
This episode of the show is brought to you by Indeed. We are driven for the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is not to search at all. So stop searching and start matching with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. It is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. So ditch the busy work, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates even faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. In fact, 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And look, if you're trying to hire somebody, probably the best chances of knowing that person's going to be good is that it comes with a personal recommendation from somebody that you already know. Right? Somebody that you trust, a friend of yours, a business owner who maybe already knows this person and they worked together a couple of years ago and they want to put you in touch because they think it might be a good fit, right? Because they are doing the matching for you and you trust that person to do that match for you. So the negative to job sites is that you don't have any sifting through the quality of the candidates before they end up in your inbox. You just have to search through, look at resumes, hope that people are being honest, because let's be honest, a lot of people aren't. And so one of the things I really love about Indeed is that not only is it sending you quality candidates, but the matching platform, the matching algorithm continues to get better the more you use it. So it gets to know your preferences, your likes, your dislikes, the things that are going to make your hiring successful specifically. So it leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every single day, which means it's constantly learning from your own preferences. So the more that you use it, the better it gets at bringing you the best candidates for the job. So join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Travis. Just go to Indeed.com/Travis right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Travis. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So then what do you think is the biggest differentiator between you and somebody who was in a position like you were?
Yeah.
That stays in that position?
Confidence. It's the secret weapon. I'm going to go in on this. If you ever watch interviews of the best, you know, athletes or entrepreneurs in the world, these fucks are confidence to the point where people will call you crazy and delusional. And like, you know, I mean, look at like Ali. And if you look at like even Floyd Mayweather, people are like, ah, he talks so much arrogance.
Conor, yeah.
But the thing is, if you actually watch his actions, at the end of every fight, he's the first person to compliment, give mad love to his competitors. Always speaks of them in the highest degree, always. But he's entertaining and he's just f-ing confident. And you have to be confident because you get to this point where nobody will believe in you.
Right.
Because they've never accomplished it for themselves and they're not. They just don't know any better. So they're just going off what they know. But please stop looking for resolve or this like support layer from your significant other, from your parent, because their journey is different than yours. Mm. Therefore, they don't understand it. And when you run into an issue, which you will run into many, and they will never stop at any point in your career, it's confidence is the only thing that gets you through. And the way that you get confidence is from results. And the way that you get results in whatever your product or service is from practice. You got to practice. So like, the one thing I always had extreme confidence in is my ability to sell. And so I always just kept betting on me because I'm like, I can sell my way out of the situation. So I always had my thing, you know, and I got good at sales from practice. I had sales jobs. Like I said, I sold cars. I fucking sold t-shirts. I sold everything.
Yep.
So you're confident, you, gross belief in yourself, right? Now, don't be arrogant and think you can know everything. Because that will put you into a hole that's darker than not having any confidence. Don't think you know, but like be confident enough to seek out help from somebody who really does have the blueprint. You know what I'm saying? It's that balance, but confidence is fucking
confident enough to know that you can do it, but still like knowing that you need help.
Yeah, confident enough to know that you can do it, but not arrogant enough to know that you know the best way to do it.
Right. Or that you don't need anybody's help or anybody's guidance.
That's how you stay broke
now
forever.
You cross the line into being broke. Yeah, exactly. Besides practice, what's another way that you can like actively grow your confidence level? Like, do you think it comes naturally, like more naturally to some people?
Yeah, sure it does. And I do, you know, if we're going to go a little deeper into it, I do think a lot of it has to come with your upbringing.
Sure.
You know, if you had people around you in your life supporting you, saying like, you go you, and even wins, like, I got lucky in the sense of, you know, I always played sports. Like, I was always on ASB. I was always, like, talking to girls and stuff, you know? So, like, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because those micro wins gave me confidence.
Yeah.
Being able to have a date to all the dances, that gave me confidence. Mm-hmm. Being able to go out for the team and then be a starter and, like, you know, that gave me confidence. Passing a test and doing decent on it without studying, even though it was stupid, gave me confidence, right? All these things give you confidence in life, and you carry that confidence with you. So everyone has something in life where you can get micro wins. And those micro wins, you got to feed off of those and allow that to kind of fill you so you can get bigger wins and that be your confidence. So confidence is transferable. So even if you don't have one confidence in one area, you may have it in something else and at least give you some kind of base or foundation.
Yeah, that's the big thing is that confidence is transferable. Because it was the same thing for me when I started my show is I had literally no idea how to do any of this. Like totally brand new to online marketing, totally brand new to podcasting, to interviewing, everything, totally brand new. And like I told you, I went out and seeked out the best person that I could possibly find, which was John Lee Dumas on how to do it better, like how to podcast better.
Yeah.
But all I knew was that, so I have a background in door-to-door sales, so similar to you, like, sales was my thing.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that I could sell myself out of a situation. So, like, I just did door-to-door for multiple years, like 5-6 years.
So you talk about experiences, like, for my daughter, like, what am I going to do? She will do door-to-door sales. To me, it's the probably the greatest skill set someone can have. Like, I love the fact you did that. Like, yeah. You know, if someone came in this office and said, hey, I did door-to-door sales, I'd be like, cool, I could teach you anything.
Yeah.
Because you're fucking fearless, you know?
Exactly. And it teaches you to, you know, have thick skin and overcome rejection, all that kind of stuff. But the biggest thing for me was, like, looking back on that and being like, okay, most people quit door-to-door within 60 days. Like, a lot of people try it. Yeah. A lot of people try it. Just like network marketing, MLMs, like, a lot of people try it. Most people quit within 60 days, never make a penny, and then they just talk crap about how horrible it is.
Yeah. Right?
So
don't hang out with them.
Yeah, exactly. So looking back on that and being like, okay, I've made multiple six figures in door-to-door sales with something that nobody, like 1% maybe of door-to-door salespeople have done.
That's dope, yeah.
Looking back on that and then being like, okay, now I'm starting a podcast, which is completely different territory. Mm-hmm. Like, my sales ability has little to do with, like, how I do my podcast. Now, getting guests on the show, obviously, like, different phrasing and language and stuff has helped me to be able to, you know, land good guests and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's completely brand new territory. But exactly what you're saying is, like, looking back on that and being like, okay, if I can do that where most people don't do it, most people give up on it, most people, like, haven't really figured it out. Like, if I can do that, then I know I can do this.
Yeah.
I just got to look at the blueprint to how I did that, which was, oh, I went around people who were making like seven figures in door-to-door and then hung around those guys. And then that's how I got to the point where
it is, man.
And then so it was like, okay, I'll just do the same thing with podcasting. And now it's like, go hang out with John Lee Dumas, seven-figure podcaster. Learn from him. Listen to him. Do whatever I can to get around him. Like I told you, volunteering to like work his booth. I paid for my own
stuff.
I paid for my own travel.
You were willing. You know what I mean? People aren't willing.
Volunteered, did everything. But exactly what you're saying. I love that so much because confidence, I wholeheartedly agree.
And willingness to go to the bottom again. Like you were at the top of something and you said, I'm going to start at the bottom.
Fresh.
That right there to me says everything about you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I love the confidence thing. I wholeheartedly agree with that. There's such a lack of confidence. It's like an epidemic, honestly. Yeah. A lot of negative self-talk.
Well, and a lot of it, I mean, people don't have confidence because you see it a lot in the marketing world right now. Everybody thinks they're a marketer and they lack the confidence though because they think they're a marketer because they bought one course for $500 that they went through in like 2 days.
Yeah.
And so now they're a marketer, but they have no real confidence because you never work with a fucking company. Come on, you know? So like some people got to be realistic with themselves. Sometimes it could take a while to build confidence with something. Mm. Good. It should.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's what makes your confidence real.
Yeah, totally. Honestly, I could talk about building confidence for a long time because it's something I'm really passionate about trying to instill in people, trying to get people to like really believe in themselves because that's really the only difference, right? It's really the only difference between people who make it and people who don't make it is like that person believes in themselves, you don't.
Yeah.
Like the only
difference
between
willingness to eat.
Yeah, and take action, right? Because some people, I think that's another thing that makes somebody that takes somebody who's really confident and turns them into just being arrogant and like broke is the fact that they never take action. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I could totally do that. If I started a podcast, like it would be top 10. If I played football, like, you know, like Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, you know what I mean? Like throwing footballs at his like video camera in his front yard. Like
you never take any
action. Yeah. You never take any action. Then stop talking, bro.
It's not that hard. Are you kidding me? I can shut the fuck up. You know, don't take advice from people who don't have the result.
Advice from people who you wouldn't want to trade places with. That's another thing that really, really gets me sometimes. Yeah. Like, I'll talk to somebody and I'll tell them something. I'll follow up with them later and then they don't do what I said. And I'm like, well, why not? And they're like, well, this other person said this. I'm like,
they already quit.
They already quit, man. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Like, there's a reason. I understand being open to everything because sometimes you need outside perspectives to like help you to be able to like formulate an opinion. But
yeah, it's people like having the excuse. If they're going to quit, they want to feel good about their reason to do so. So they lie to themselves about the truth.
Yep. Love it, man. Well, let's go ahead and take a clear shift here and talk a little bit about networking. This is Build Your Network Podcast. We talk about networking a lot, how to build relationships the right way, something that you're really incredible at, something that I really respect about you, and one of the reasons I really wanted to get you on the show. So this is the question I ask everybody that ever comes on to get this conversation headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
So do you believe that what you know or who you know is more important and why?
I genuinely believe from the bottom of my heart, you got to have both. Hmm. I think they both serve a purpose. So, for example, with networking with me, is I'm very, like, independent and, like, our company, we, like, kind of stay ourselves. We didn't really team up or meet up with too many people for a long time. And part of the reason was for that is because I didn't feel like I had something to bring to the table. Mm. So for example, like everybody, like if someone can network, right, they may say things like, I want to network with Tony Robbins, right? Who would be considered world-class, maybe one of the top entrepreneurs right now that's out there. But if I asked them, if you were sitting with Tony Robbins, how could you help him? They'd probably be like, quiet, well, I couldn't. I just, you know, I want him to help me. And it makes it all about you. And that's never worked for any networking situation. So make sure you come to the table and you got your thing. So my thing is that I can make videos that sell and I can do it on social media. I can do it better than almost anyone in the world, most people in the world.
Yeah.
And because of that, if I was sitting across from Tony Robbins right here, or whoever, or Damon John sat in that chair or this chair, I can sit there and I can feel great about myself because I know if he gave me any of his companies, I can fucking make more sales for them leveraging this stuff. And I know it better than anyone on his team.
Yeah.
So even though he's got way more business knowledge in this, more money, more TV time, all of these things, I got my thing that allows me to contribute, which makes networking way easier.
Yeah.
And secondly, I also have audience. I have reach. We have people. So when I go up to, you know, that other person and they want to promote their book, I have an audience to do that to. And if I tell people about my book, they will buy it.
Yeah.
So again, just being aware that in order to make the big relationships you really want to connect with, you got to have something to bring to the fucking table. Also, too, Kevin O'Leary said this once, which is another shark in Shark Tank, my favorite shark. And Kevin O'Leary says, someone asked him a question in an interview, like, how do you meet people like blank, you know, the Cubans and all this stuff? And he said, very simple. You pay them. People go, wait, I don't understand. Like, I don't have any money to pay them. Yeah, that's the point. You haven't created enough value to even be able to afford them. So your chance of being able to sit at the table and eat with them is rare. Yeah. And then at one point you get enough like audience and value to the point where it's a mutual exchange. Right. So now when I meet most people, it's like, cool, I know what you do, I need to do. There's mutual respect there. Like, let's get together and money's not a discussion.
Right.
But while I was getting things going, pay for someone to come.
Right.
Because once people see that one person you're associated with, to attract the rest becomes way easier. So do not be afraid to pay for something. Are you kidding me? That's that the fact that you could afford to pay them says it all.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
it's all about the value exchange.
Yeah.
If you
it's
can't,
a trade. It's trading. Yeah. You know?
If you can't afford to pay, then you got to figure out a different way to add value. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
You know? But that's the difference though between the people who will connect with somebody and build a real relationship and the people who will run up to somebody at an event, shake their hand, take a selfie, and then post it on Instagram like they're best buds, but then the other person has no idea who they are.
Exactly.
Right? It's all about that positioning, which all stems from how much value you can add
to
somebody. Can you talk about like a couple ways when you don't pay? So like if you're not paying somebody for coaching, but you want to connect with them, can you talk about a couple different ways that you add value?
So like it's always going to be independent and subjective based on your skill set. Mm-hmm. So like for me, for example, like Rob Dyrdek is someone who I've always looked up to forever. Mm-hmm. You know, how would I leverage like getting in front of him when you reach these people and money is not even a motivator, even if you do have it.
Right. Give
a, and so one thing that I would like offer is growth in his companies. He's got a big portfolio of businesses. One thing that I would probably offer is just, hey, I'll do your marketing for free.
Yeah.
Simple, because I know how to do that. Another thing that people are aware of our skill set is videos. We do a lot of videos and they're crazy. So, hey, I'll do a video for you for free. Mm-hmm. But listen, if someone, that only works because in our particular position, our ads have been seen a bunch of times. So if they weren't seen and I was just coming in the beginning trying to get in front of someone, instead of just saying, hey, I'll make you a video, I would just make the video and I would send it to them and say, here is a video for you.
Yes.
Do you like it? And then they don't reply, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make them another fucking video.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't answer that one, I'm going to make them another fucking video. He's going to have 12 videos. Right. Then finally, you're going to be like, yo, all these videos have been pretty tight. One's going to get to them.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, oh, cool. Can I pay you to do another video?
Mm.
And I say, sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, so it's just, just take shots, guys. Like, the other thing, too, is like, don't be afraid of no's. Expect them.
Yes.
Fucking no, you're going to, you will likely hear a no first. That is when any true salesman will tell you, when you hear the no is when the sale begins. Anything before that, you were order taking.
Exactly.
You were fucking selling.
Yep. You know? Yep. Exactly. If you didn't get a no, you didn't work for that at all.
Mm-mm.
Like those are, so I have a water business that's separate, obviously, from the podcast.
Mm.
And I have door-to-door sales reps that go out and sell my water products.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I tell them. I'm like, look, the difference between making $45,000 a year and $200,000 a year as a salesperson is being a closer. Like the fact that if you can take no's, then you can like go door to door and you can still make money. It's just a numbers game at that point. but you're going to be in that $50,000, $60,000 range. But if you can go and then learn how to flip those no's and turn them into the yes, now you can unlock like real income potential and make it happen that way. And now coming into the podcasting world, I've learned rejection on a whole new platform, bro, because like door to door, like I don't care at all what like Joe Schmo says about it, right? Like Joe Schmo slams the door in my face, tells me to get the F off his porch. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
But when I'm reaching out to like somebody that I like really respect and admire, and I'm like, hey man, would love to have you come on my show. Love to, you know, and they're like, no, it's like, ah, but that one hurt a little bit more. But yeah, you just have to expect it. It's just part, it's literally just part of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, and a lot of times, especially with people that you're trying to connect with, a lot of times it's like literally people take it so personally.
Yeah.
And it's not personal.
It's never
at all.
Personal.
Like for instance, with you, how many people do you have like reaching out to you like on a weekly basis?
I can count.
Literally, can't count them. So people take it so personally. They're like, well, he talks about helping people, but he won't even respond to my message.
Oh my God. It's like, bro, we have so many of those. I'm just like, stop, stop. Or people too. What we get a lot of is people get mad that we don't take their money, you know? And I'm like, look, that's the difference in where we're at as a company. It's like, you're not seeing Billie Jean 6 years ago where I'd do anything for a buck because I needed it. Like people are like, I had hard earned money, but they literally put me on a wait list and made me fill an application and I just got over it. Exactly. We don't want to fucking work with you. That's like the point of the process.
If that was all it took for you.
Yeah, we're not interested. So but it's just funny, man. Well, dude, I appreciate this, man. This is good.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Let's boil it down. One thing, one like networking tip, like one thing that you would say, hey, if you implement this into your life tomorrow, you will start to see some more success with this.
If I had to pick like a 2018 right now today thing, you always got to follow the trends. Trends will bring you a lot of success if you can get on top of one. One trend that's happening right now is people are realizing the importance of video. And it's been happening for a little bit now. But the thing is a lot of people still aren't using them in their business. And so something that everybody that's listening right now can do if you're trying to get in front of that person is make them a good video. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, I don't know how to make videos, but like, you don't have to. Go to a website like Upwork.com. Fiverr.com and have someone, you can look at their portfolios, their resumes, the videos they've done in the past, and literally have them do it. And they'll do it for like cheap. And you just kind of broker that and be the middle person there. And there you go. Yeah. You found a way in. So I would say that's a pretty cool tip, but to get in front of, at least for entrepreneurs, so not entrepreneurs who listen to this podcast, everyone needs videos. And that's a pretty good way to get in front of them is leverage video. And you don't even have to be able to make videos.
Dope. Appreciate it, bro. Let's go to move on to, this is the last segment, just the random round, a few really quick random questions with some random answers. Ready?
Yep.
What profession other than your own do you think it would be fun to attempt?
Hip hop dancer. I love dancing. Dance is fun. Even our music, like if you ever watch our videos, if anyone watches our videos, listen to the sound, I'm like obsessed with like the way that the video and the sound coordinate.
Sound quality,
that's like my entire thing. Like, it's, if you watch all of it, the sound dictates every story we tell.
If you could sit on a park bench with someone past or present, talk to them for an hour, who'd it be and why?
It's funny because Rob Dyrdek was my guy and then I got to actually do it.
Oh, so
it was cool. And because he built his company, you know, it would change who's on that bench based on the problem I was currently facing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if it was like a relationship challenge, I'd probably want to talk to the person who's had like the happiest relationship of their lives.
Yeah.
And it would consistently shift based on where I was at.
That's fair. Yeah. How do you like to consume content? Books, audiobooks, blogs, podcasts, videos?
I liked a lot of like YouTube videos while I'm falling asleep late at night. Like I like to watch interviews and lessons like that. At nighttime, I actually retain a weird amount of information.
Yeah. Give us a glimpse of your morning routine.
My morning routine is not very like most of the people's that you do. I actually, people are like, never touch your phone when you wake up because it will stress you out. Well, if your business is running in a chaotic fashion where things are happening all the time, then yes, it will stress you out. And it sounds like you have some internal operations that you need to change. But for me, I'm excited about my work. I like to see what new opportunities are there and like log into shit and see what happened on campaigns. So I work from my bed for like an hour and a half sometimes just going through it.
Yeah.
And then I have two assistants. They kind of do different roles. And they'll give me, one of them will send me the numbers for the day, like what happened the previous day. So I get to evaluate those, have a conversation. Then I get to talk about my schedule coming up for the day. And sometimes I veto things, you know, if I don't like them.
Right.
So I'll do a numbers report of that. And then I come into the office. We do a morning huddle up with the team. That's just a temperature check and a culture check. And
right,
we just kind of get everybody the same.
It's like half the reason I asked that question is to get people to understand that, like, look, you don't have to do like Hal Elrod, Miracle Morning to make $1 million.
At all.
And if you do that, it does not mean that you will make. And you listen, take 38 ice baths a day, you're not going to be Tony Robbins.
Right? That's what I'm saying. And like, guys, sometimes I wake up and the first thing I do is I turn on my Xbox and I play video games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but also too, right, guys, like remember where I'm at my business. You know, I'm not just getting up, trying to figure out where my next sale is coming from because a lot of those things were sacrificed. But now I'm at, if I play video games religiously. Yeah.
What is your go-to pump-up song?
Yeah, that changes. But like to give you an idea, it depends on the energy I'm feeling. Like today, my song was the fucking song from Gladiator. Like
where he's talking?
No, where he sees his kids, like he meets with his family at the end.
Okay.
It's not a pump-up song at all. It's very like ooh.
Yeah. Get you in your feelings, bro.
Get you in your feelings for sure. So like that was my song today. I mean, I played it in the morning huddle up. Like it's just like, you know, so whatever I'm feeling, man, it'd be changing all my moods.
Cool. What is one thing that you're just not very good at?
Oh my God. This list is so fucking long. I am so incredibly bad at handwriting and like crafty things, like opening things and packages or using scissors or like, I'm the fucking worst. Like ask Karen downstairs. I'm always like, Karen, can you open this? Like I just like can't build things and put them together. Like I'm fucking horrible at that.
So we got everything wrapped up here, man. What is one place online where we'll be able to find you the most?
Man, we got a lot of content, y'all. Right now, we're doing a lot on Instagram. I'm very personally involved in IG. So follow us on Instagram, Billie Jean is Marketing. That's the same thing on Facebook and YouTube. And, you know, get sucked into our world, you know.
BillieJeanIsMarketing.com. Anywhere.
Yeah.
Go search it and you'll find.
Watch this. Actually, everyone, go to BillieJeanIsMarketing.com. The second you go there, you'll be pixeled. You will never stop seeing my ads for the rest of your life.
There you go. There you go. Billy, really appreciate you coming on the show today, brother. Really had a blast talking
to you. Real, man. Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
That's it for this episode. If you want to connect with Travis and other like-minded people who also listen to the show, then you're going to want to head over to TravisChappell.com/group to join his free Facebook group, Podcast to Profit. Travis will see you there. And remember to leave every relationship better than you found it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.